pardon me, our little green sheet today talks about seeking Jesus. I just went out and turned off the sprinkler because I know hidden around the church garden today are some plastic Easter eggs with stuff inside. And so the kids don't get wet and the Easter eggs don't get wet. The sprinkler's off because there's a bit of an Easter egg hunt, and some of you will be involved in an Easter egg hunt, maybe with grandchildren or with others over time. But friends, what is it that you normally go looking for? I think there are three things that normally we lose. The car keys or the house keys, so we're looking for them. The phone, and we're looking for that. Or the purse or the wallet, and we're looking for that. So those three things tend to be, I think, the three top of the list that we go looking for. But today, of course, it'll be kids looking for Easter eggs. We've all lost stuff and searched keenly, but today it's a very different looking. Seeking Jesus, there were some Greeks who came looking. Lots of lost things in the Bible. There's the lost son, the lost coin, the lady who sweeps looking. The wise men who came looking and searching for Jesus. There were Simeon and Anna, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, who were looking and waiting and searching for the Messiah. When was he going to come and how was it going to be? So the question is, how serious do we look for some things? If we've lost the car keys or the wallet or the phone, it's almost as if we can't live without them. But the next question is, can we live without looking for Jesus? The Greeks came. Now, what were they doing there in Jerusalem? They come up for the feast, so they must have heard something about religion. Maybe they were worshippers, we don't know. Greeks were interesting people. We read in Corinthians that they were people who sought wisdom. They were very good at debating and discussing and seeking wisdom. That's what they wanted, a bit more knowledge. How does this work? How does this fit together? What happens here? And so maybe they'd heard Jesus. We've heard that he says some wise things, so let's go and hear or see if we can see him. And they choose Philip. They're going to check out Philip. Why? Maybe a Greek name, maybe he spoke Greek, we don't know. But it's interesting as we follow Philip through into Acts. He is one of those who is chosen to be what we would call a deacon. And the quality of deacon was a person who was full of the Holy Spirit and respected by the community. So maybe Philip already had a bit of a, it's Philip we need to see. So, anyhow, they found Philip. Now, the question, of course, today is, did they really just want to see a man? I'm not sure that that was true. I mean, Philip could have said, well, there's Jesus over there, go and have a look at him. If you just want to see Jesus, go and have a look. I think it was a bit more. I think what people were saying, or the Greeks were saying, was, Philip, you have lived with Jesus. You have walked with Jesus. You've listened to Jesus. What is it that makes that man tick? Why is he so different? What is it that makes that bloke function like he does? What is it that makes him tick? It's interesting, isn't it? Do you ever sit and think, what is it that made Jesus tick like he did? Why was he like he was? The Son of God, Son of Man. But these Greeks were intrigued. They wanted to know more. And I trust, friends, that we are people who want to know more. Do you look? What is it about Jesus that intrigues me? What is it that interests me? Do I want to know a bit more? How am I finding out a bit more? Well, today there are four areas of seeking Jesus. The first is the cross. Yes, we know about the cross. Dion has just talked about it again. And we know the cross, focal point of lots of churches, outside churches, all around. We've got a few here, wooden, metal, all the rest of it. So we've got the cross. We know all about the cruelty of the cross. We know the sadness of the cross. We know, we've heard it 1,000 times. The cross, the cross, the cross. Yes, yes, yes. But, friends, the work of the cross was complete, and as well as it being complete, if the cross was still where Jesus is, and if you go into some churches, you'll see a cross with a figure of Jesus on it, in some places with a bleeding heart. Now, if Jesus is still there, we are mad. We are mad. Of course, it's forgiveness of sin, but it's the wonderful way in which that happens. It's the way in which God is over here, we are over here, and we have said, not interested, God, in you. And that's the heart of sin, just to walk away. And God, thank you, I can do it by myself. And that's where the cross just fits that gap perfectly. And so God and people are brought together by the cross. That's the heart of sin, isn't it? The fact that we are independent and we walk away. But the joy of Easter is that Jesus comes to fill that gap and we can walk back to God. Wonderful, wonderful. So we need to say, if Jesus is still on the cross, is there any hope for us? No, there's not. If you're wearing a cross, that's really a very significant expression of your faith. Lots of people wear crosses for jewellery. Some have them tattooed on bits and pieces of their body. I'm not sure that everyone who does that knows what they're doing. I'm not sure that everyone who wears a cross knows the symbolism and the significance of that. But the cross is vitally important. But as Paul says, if Christ hasn't been raised, if he's still on the cross, well, our faith is futile and we're still in our sin. Nothing's been accomplished. So friends, if we look to the cross, what are we going to see? Well, we might be able to use it as a place of meditation, a place of reflection, a place of thought. Yes, thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life. A place of meditation, a place of reflection, a place as a reminder. But, friends, he is no longer on the cross. And we say, hooray for that. Hooray for that. Well, let's have a look. Is he in the grave? Because that's another important part of the Easter story. Groups came to the grave. Mary, Simon, Peter, John. Why did they come? Well, because of their love. I guess they wondered what had happened. What's going on here after the crucifixion? Or what are we going to see? And they came and looked. John had a good look. Well, sort of a good look. And then shot through. I know what's happened. I'm with it. Mary waited. And when we read a few bits from the Gospels, we realise that the women went back and taking spices and ointments and things. And then the angel said, why are you here seeking the living amongst the dead? This is the cemetery sort of place. Why would you be there? Why are you here? Don't you realise what's happened. It's beautiful, isn't it? As Ian said, that Jesus, when Mary's there, and can we imagine what sort of state that lady is in? Just, what is going on? What has happened? She's looking, I guess, and then she hears a voice, and she turns around and she thinks it's the gardener, and he calls her by name. How amazing. Have you heard God called you by name? Well, maybe we should listen carefully. And maybe we should just realise that God knows each one. There was an old chorus that used to go, "He knows me by my name. With the millions, now I guess with the trillions below, he still knows me by my name." How wonderful that is. It's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? But Mary didn't understand at first, and then she did. Sometimes we don't understand at first, but then we do. Some people are very keen on sort of going back through old places, cemeteries. Some are keen to go back and look at old biblical places and try and find out what really happened here and how did things fit together. But friends, we're not talking about looking at bones. I always have a bit of a chuckle with Agatha Christie, whose husband was an archaeologist, and she used to say, "The older I get, the more interested he is in my body," because he was an archaeologist. But we're not talking about that here. We're talking about just the grave. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Yes. Friends, there are lots of theories about the death. Did he just swoon? Did the disciples pinch? What happened? It's speculation by lots of people. We need to take the word of God and say, Jesus was raised from the dead by his Father. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Resurrection. I have often said at funerals, the person hasn't gone into another room. The person hasn't just sort of gone into the garden. The person has died. You've got to die to be resurrected. You can't just swoon and be resurrected. You come awake. If you've swooned, if you've gone unconscious, you become conscious. But you've got to die to be resurrected. And this is what happened here. A death and a resurrection. So friends, it's essential I've got there. It's essential that we go to the grave and die to self if we're a follower of Jesus. And to hear the voice of God. Be reminded that each one of us is special. Isn't that wonderful, Gail? That God knows you better than you know yourself. Yes, that mightn't be hard. No. Right. So friends, what would be the third thing? Well, what about heaven? Is Jesus in heaven? He's not on the cross anymore. He's not in the grave anymore. Is he in heaven? Well, yes, he is. And the Bible says we have a great high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. How wonderful. Sitting at the right hand, why? Because his work is finished. Some years ago, we had an art exhibition up at the church at Aldgate. And each person in the art group, which was quite a professional group, took one of the words from Jesus at the cross. And they used to choose their theme at Christmas, and then they'd work towards it at Easter. And we'd have an art exhibition, close the church on Palm Sunday and have an art exhibition. And one lady who had "It Is Finished," she painted this big red lounge chair, one of those winged chairs. And she painted it in like it was just in the lounge room. It was bare, except there was a shadow on the ground in the form of a cross. And the lounge chair was on the cross. And when you asked Sheila, tell us the significance, she said, when I come home, I just like to collapse in the lounge chair and rest. Work has finished for the day. Work has finished. And so it was quite symbolic, as artists do all symbolic stuff, but it was symbolic because it was the cross and this comfy lounge chair. It is finished, Jesus said. So he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I've got there, he's seated because his work is completed. He intercedes, and that won't finish until he comes again. Victory over opposition. No one to condemn us. This is heaven. But friends, if Jesus is in heaven, well, he can't be in our heart at the same time, can he? Like, he couldn't be in Jerusalem and Bethany and Nazareth and all of the... He was a human. And if he is resurrected as the Son of God, human, and seated at the right hand, he has to still be a person. So we need to get a little bit beyond some of our Sunday school thinking. You know, Jesus in my heart, well, it's quite confusing, really, because if he's up there interceding for me, he's not here. So we need to think about that in a moment. And friends, we do need to be careful. We do need to be careful and remind ourselves that heaven is our home. That's where Jesus is. That's where we will be with him forever if we are a believer. But at the moment, he is there doing his work for us, interceding. So we pray here. We might pray a prayer that's 2 out of 10. But when it gets up there through the Holy Spirit, it's 11 out of 10. And how wonderful. We need to keep that in mind, that heaven is our focus. And we pray through Jesus. We don't have any standing in our own right. That's our power. He is interceding on our behalf and we pray through him. So we need to look up and keep our focus on Jesus. I've got there. If we don't look up, we'll fall over ourselves with our problems and our issues and whatever, and we'll fall into a spiritual hole. We need to be very careful, and we need to also make sure that we keep our focus on eternity. This is just a very temporary spot. A very temporary spot. A few weeks ago, I had a funeral in Melbourne, and the man there had written down what he wanted, and he'd written down his Bible verses about, which most people or a lot of people have, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. There are many homes or mansions or rooms or whatever. Whatever that might mean, and whoever we're going to be next door to, which might be a bit debatable, but we need to be aware that, friends, that is the focus. We might be very comfy here, very comfy in our home with all of our creature comforts, but heaven is where we're headed. How wonderful. How wonderful. So, if he's not on the cross, he's not in the grave, he's in heaven, well, how can this be true? If Jesus is in heaven, seated at God's right hand, interceding for us, how is he here with us on earth? Well, because he understood that we would be people, and this wasn't God's B plan, this was God's A plan, he has sent his Holy Spirit to live in us. So, Jesus couldn't be in Jerusalem and Nazareth and everywhere, and he can't be in heaven and on earth in person, so he has sent the person of the Holy Spirit to dwell in each one of us if we believe in him. That's how a spirit can work. It's not how a person can work. We can have a person in the lounge room talking, but that person can't then be in their home at the same time. Whereas the Spirit of God can be in each one's life at the same time, sent by the living God as a gift. How wonderful that is. So, as Paul again says, we are not controlled by sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If that little word, the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he or she does not belong to Christ. There are lots of theories around. Unless you've spoken in tongues, unless you've done a miracle, unless this has happened, da-da-da-da-da. The Spirit of God is given to each believer when we confess Jesus as Lord and turn back to God through Jesus. So friends, we have the Spirit of Jesus in us. And John, I've got John 14 and John 16 there. Have a read of that sometimes over Easter. The counsellor, the comforter, the one who comes alongside, the assurer. The fruit of God's Holy Spirit in each one of us needs to be growing. We need to be nurturing that. So are we searching for Jesus like the Greeks? Well, if we are and we are growing in Jesus as we search, then the fruit of God's Spirit will be growing in us. We will be becoming more like Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus exchanged his life for our life so that he can live in heaven and help us to live on earth as he lived. So we are expressions of Jesus. Does the neighbour see that? That's what we're on about. We're not here just to have fun. But being a Christian should be fun. But we're here to reflect Jesus. He's in heaven praying that we'll be doing it. And we're on earth hopefully doing it, expressing Christ around to our neighbours and our friends and our family. He dwells in us. You see, we pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it going to get done on earth? Well, it's only going to get done on earth if we're doing it with his help. So it's a double link. Him praying for us, us working for him, comes together and people understand about Jesus. Friends, those Greeks came looking. We don't exactly know what they found. They came searching. We would like to see Jesus. A lot of people leave the church and they say, we've given up with the church, but we've not given up with Jesus. And I think it's because what they want to see in us, who are part of the church, they want to see Jesus. They want to see his character. They want to see him reflected. They're not interested in all of the church stuff that we go on with sometimes. They want to see Jesus touching their lives. And friends, that might be the message of Easter for us. Out and touch people's lives with Jesus, because that's what we're on about. This is how it seems to work. The Father wasn't crucified. He was the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus was the one who was crucified on the cross. And the Spirit wasn't crucified. The Spirit was sent by Jesus to dwell in us. So that's how the Trinity comes together. The Father, in a way, being the organiser, Jesus being the fulfiller, and the Spirit being the promise to each one of us. Jesus in my life? Yes. Not physically, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, seeking Jesus? I hope we never stop seeking Jesus. I hope we never give up seeking Jesus. For he continues to seek us and to transform us into his likeness. Let us pray. our Lord and our God, like those Greeks, I think there are probably a lot of people seeking Jesus, but they're not sure where to look. And maybe some of them have looked at the church and said, not for me. So we again come before you and ask that you would be the God who dwells in us by the power of your Spirit. We thank you that the grave is empty. We thank you that the cross is vacant. We thank you that heaven waits with open arms. But we thank you that while on earth, the Spirit of the living God dwells in us, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus. May we be those who search for Jesus and allow his power to work in us. For we ask it in his name and for the sake of the world, that people might see and hear about Jesus. Amen.